Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 42, I think so, of DBC. We're going to finalize our week of Halloween this week, or spooky stuff, so I think it's going to be a fun episode. So stay attentive, children. Going forward, we're not medical professionals. We do talk about our mental illnesses, because believe me, we all got them. and we talk about things that work for us to help combat them. If you are feeling like you may present an illness, please go talk to a medical professional. And if you are feeling very, very low in a dark place, Joyelle has some phone numbers for you. Joyelle?
Yep. So if you're feeling suicidal, you can call the Canada suicide hotline in Canada for at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text message 45645. And in the US, you can call 988, or you can text talk to 741-741. So if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, you can reach out to these numbers, as well as if you are worried about somebody, you can report if you feel that somebody is suicidal. So on to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Halloween weekend. Excuse me. As the general reminder, our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We love to hear from you guys. For the quote for this week, it's going to be, "The world turned upside down in a good way for one black velvet night." And today we're also going to have, because I think it's Dana's like soapbox moment, Shelby, this. And I am so here for it, because it was something that I wanted to talk about too. So this is fantastic. I was so happy when you put up your post on Facebook.
Thank you.
She is going to talk about some of the origins of Halloween. And I will now hand it over to her so that way she can start it. And then I'm sure I will stand on the soapbox next to her and be like, and also this.
Well, you would probably have more to add, Taylor. Mine is a very general overview. So there is a lot of people out there of the Christian faith that honestly believe that Halloween celebrates the devil. No. Halloween is a Christian holiday. Halloween is the evening before the Christian holy days of All Hallows Day, also known as All Saints on Halloween, on November 1st, and All Souls Day on the 2nd of November, thus giving the name of for October 31st as All Hallows Eve, what we know as Halloween, because we like to condense things in the 19th century. And that basically means the evening before All Hallows Day. So it has nothing to do with Satan or worshiping him. One of the biggest faux pas people make is that, and I've seen this posted on Facebook, somebody out there actually thinks that Anton LaVey invented Halloween. Now, for those of you that don't know, Anton LaVey is the founder of the Church of Satanism. He is also the author of the Satanic Bible. He's not an evil man.
Nope.
There's so many people that say, oh, Satan, you know. Look up Anton LaVey. I am urging people to Google. Google is my friend. Google Anton LaVey, and LaVey is LaVey. Look up Anton LaVey. You'll find him on Wikipedia too. But look him up, and you're going to find some very interesting facts about the Church of Satan. You're going to find out that their rules are a lot like Christian rules.
But better.
The one thing that people don't want to hear because they're just a la 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 Satan. What they don't want to hear is that the Church of Satanism does not promote violence. What the Church of Satanism promotes is peace and love. And people are so small-minded, they cannot comprehend that.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely cannot comprehend that. No, October 31st isn't the day that the veil between the living and the dead is open the widest. It's always open, people. I don't know if you realize that.
No, it's true, though. It is actually thinner on Halloween.
There's just so many misconceptions that Halloween is associated with devil worshiping, the devil, the Church of Satan, Satanism. I wanted to bring into light that that's so not true. And oh my God, people, stop spreading fucking rumors about Anton LaVey. The man is dead. Let him rest in peace. Go ahead, Taylor. Get on your soapbox.
Okay. Hops up next to Dana. And now for the educational portion of this proceedings. Okay, so originally, Halloween started off as and for those of us who know history as well as witchcraft, all that fun stuff, and just enjoy Halloween in general, Halloween is actually originally based off of Samhain, the Celtic pagan festival, where we would celebrate the end of the harvest. We'd bring it in, we'd drink, we'd have orgies, all the fun things. people will notice that the trend with pagan rituals is that we like to have sex a lot. Everything revolves around that. We're like, yeah, we're here for a good time. So that is actually where Halloween stems from. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, Christianity was smart. They went through and they were like, you know what would be great public marketing is if we take all these holidays that already exist, we'll keep them because that'll bring the pagans in with us as we go, hey, we celebrate your holidays too. Let's take some of your traditions, such as the jack-o'-lantern, which originally was actually turnips that they would carve scary faces into. And do the same thing. It's the exact same thing with what we do over here with pumpkins, but they would do with turnips over in Scotland, Ireland area. And they would put them out because it would ward off the bad spirits. Because when it comes to certain times during the year, there is a thinner point to the veil where more people have the spookier encounters, so to speak. Because certain times it's no different than how when you get closer to the sun, you get hotter, and then the rest of the year, we spin away from the sun, so we get colder. Same theory. Different times of year brings us closer to the other side and further away, and easier to communicate with. Therefore, in a lot of cultures, this time of year is when it would be at its thinnest. You would wear things to scare off the spirits, because they didn't want to interact with them. So they would wear what we consider costumes now. But for them, that would just be normal wear where they're like, all right, we're celebrating, but they can't tell that we're not dead. So they're going to leave us alone. Kind of like in, it's going to be a weird reference. But for those of us who, have you ladies seen Hocus Pocus?
No.
I'm sorry, what? Okay, all I heard was Peanut saying no, and my world is shattering. What did you say, Dana?
No. I heard Dana say no too, yes.
What is wrong with you?
I like horror movies. Hocus Pocus is hokey.
Yeah.
That is what makes it so good is that it's cheesy and it's a 90s. It is a 90s movie to a T.
Yep. I've never. In the 90s. Okay. In the 90s, I was a teenager and
you
I was
looking out at penises.
I was out drinking. And yes, I was out drinking and I was out at bars and I was drunk in fields and.
Who
and looking at penises. Come on now. Peanut called me a hoe this week.
I didn't call you a hoe. I just said you probably have seen more penises than me.
She called me a hoe. That's what I took away from that conversation. She called me a hoe.
So what is it about Hocus Pocus that you love so much?
Just in general, I love that it doesn't take itself seriously. Like, it's not trying to be a scary movie. It's just trying to be a fun-filled, I think it's like an hour and a half, if that, long movie, and just weird, bizarre characters that you just can't help but to love and identify yourself with, because I am fully, anyone who's seen Hocus Pocus will understand this, I am fully Winifred, where she sticks her head outside, oh, what a glorious morning, makes me sick. Accurate. I feel that, Winnie. She is my soul sister. But in the movie, the one sister, Mary, can smell out children because, of course, they want to be young and live for eternity. But in order to do that, they have to suck the souls out of children, which I'm all for. So the one sings, Sister Sarah sings and lures the kids to them. Then they give them a potion and then they're able to drain the life force from them. Sarah sings. Mary is able to sniff them out. So she literally, like during the movie, she'll just start sniffing and she'll be like, there's a boy in here, about 16, and he's over here. During Halloween, they're out after being resurrected after 300 years. They're out and about. They're walking around. And she turns to Winifred and says, I can smell children everywhere, but I don't see them. I don't see anything. And it's because they're all wearing costumes. And that to me is actually the perfect example for showing that's how Samhain was. You would get dressed up like dead people. Mind you, back then, obviously, they weren't as creative as we are now, where we have 5 bajillion different costumes to pick from. But they would get dressed up and appear as dead people, so that way the spirits couldn't see them and couldn't cause them harm. Just like in the movie. Except in their case, it was children who were trying to hide from the witches trying to steal their life. Which, when said out loud, now makes it not sound like a Disney movie.
It's all good.
So yes, so that's the origins of Samhain, aka now known as Halloween. And as Dana pointed out, it's the reason for why it's called All Hallows Eve is because of the Saints Day and All Souls Day following that.
Yeah. Nothing to do with the devil, Satan, nope. Nothing.
Not even a little.
So now that we've got that out of the way, we are going to talk about scary video games. Taylor's a gamer, I'm a gamer, and Joyelle likes to game too.
Not as much as you guys though.
I've never gamed with Joyelle, but I have gamed with Taylor.
I've never gamed online.
Okay.
We need to fix this.
I had the pleasure of playing Left 4 Dead with Taylor.
Son of a bitch.
So I have my regular group of people. Like, there was 4 of us, and we would like all plan to hook up, and we'd do like a 12-14 hour marathon. My husband would, like, make me coffee, feed me, because I'd be, right?
All I can see is IT, like, patting your brow down.
You got this, champ. You got this.
So, if you've never played Left 4 Dead, the whole premise is you're 4 survivors of the zombie apocalypse. There's booby traps in the game. And things you shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also special zombies. So in Left 4 Dead 1, I believe it was the witch and tank.
Oh, yes.
And the blubber one.
The bloater.
Yeah, the bloater. So I'm playing with Taylor and her friend. I forget who it was.
My friend Christina.
Okay. And we're playing Left 4 Dead. And I have a notorious habit of when we're close to the safe house, I will set off a car alarm and run like hell while the horde attacks my friends.
Yeah, let me just say, I was not aware of this fact before she joined the game. That is not how I play, ladies and gentlemen. That is not how I play.
For the most part, I'm generally a very considerate gamer and I will help my friends out. But when it comes to getting into that safe house to be safe, no, every man for himself.
She is not kidding.
So I game on an Xbox, and up until recently, March, I gamed on a Xbox One. Before that, it was a 360. All of which I still have, by the way. Don't think I don't old school games every now and then. I still have my Nintendo Cube. Nintendo 64.
Oh, yep.
Because I love the Mario Party games.
Oh, yeah.
Two people in my gamer group had been wanting Ann and I to upgrade our systems to the next level Xbox. And I was like, listen, I just had two knee surgeries. I'm no longer working. I'm not going to shell out $400 for a system. I'm going to wait till I find it at a good price. Fair enough. So early March, my husband, IT, and our friend, Manwich, because we don't use real names on this show, right, ladies? We went over to Royal Oak, Michigan, to a brewery there, had some beer, and lunch. On the way home, I get a message from who else? Anne. And she says, she sent me a picture. And she says, I'm at Costco. Are you going to buy one? And what she had sent me a picture of was the latest Xbox. Costco had it on sale. I'm like, my husband's driving at this point. And I'm like, Anne sent me a picture of the Xboxes are on sale at Costco. Well, Manwich, who was in the back seat and is who was part of my gaming crew, he's like, how much? I tell him, he goes, that's a really fucking good price. I'm like, yeah, but, and my husband's like, well, I haven't bought you anything for your birthday. Like, literally, if Manwich hadn't been in the back seat, I would have had sex with my husband in the car. Any man that offers to buy me a video game system for my birthday.
That's it. Keanu Reeves is going to start showing up in her DMs now. I have a PlayStation 5 for you.
So I send Anne a message. I'm like, on our way to Costco, I'm going to buy one. She's like, great. She goes, I'll grab mine. So Manwich and I stay in the car and we're chit-chatting about the game. And my husband runs into Costco, which he actually finds Anne and they talk, but he comes back out and he's got the new Xbox for me. Like, literally tears in my eyes. I don't know how, like, tears in my eyes because I love gaming that much. So we get home and we're going to play cards that evening. So Manwich stays at our house and I'm like, oh my God, that Xbox is beautiful. My husband's like, do you want me to set it up? I'm like, yes, please do. So he gets it all set up. And it's so tiny compared to the other ones. And that's when I realized that I don't need discs. I don't need anything. It's just basically memory. It's just a box of memory. And I think it's like one. Help me here, Taylor. It's a big terabyte.
Oh, the Xbox Series X, the one that you have, is a 500 gigabyte. The Xbox Series X that I have is 1 terabyte.
Okay, there we go. But because my husband's IT wise, he added another box of space. I'm sorry. My brain is on
vacation. It's like me and when I couldn't think of the word for ribs.
Not a jump drive, but like you people hard drive. Know what I mean.
He added another solid state drive for it, I'm sure.
Thank you. Yes. So I have it was a 2 terabyte drive and then the original 500 gigs. One of my favorite games was Dying Light. So the whole reason why Anne and I got shit face crazy was because they came out with Dying Light 2. And we started playing that. And when I tell you we had epic days when we played, I'd get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and I'd make my coffee. I'd have a text message from Anne, want to play? I'd be like, fuck yeah. And I turn on the system, and Norm's like, you're gonna game today? I'm like, yeah, me, Ann and I are gonna game today. Come dinner time, I'm like, order a fucking pizza. I do not have time to cook today. Because we'd still be gaming.
I wish I could do that.
There were some days where we gamed until 9 o'clock at night.
See, Peanut, you just gotta find the right game that calls to you. Because I can't do that with all games, but there's some that I'm like, oh my god, like I will waste the entire day. I basically go into a zombified state and come back and I'm like, is it nighttime? What day is this?
It's not even that. It's that I feel I feel guilty if I do that.
No, you can't feel that way.
If I spend like all day just doing I just feel I don't know how to explain it. It's the way I was, things have been drilled into my head.
I get that. But you're single. You have no children. Well, I mean, yeah, fur babies, but they're pretty self-sufficient. You have no children. There's nobody in your house to tell you that you need to do something. Me, I have a family I have to take care of.
And Dana still finds the time to spend the entire game.
But you know what? But
Dana, no weekends where I don't speak to them because I'm gaming.
But I think that's the thing, because they allow you, but they support that.
Yeah.
That's something that you need or something. And I have the two downstairs that, you know, to them, that's video games are just a waste of time. And
they're for children.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the way that it's been drilled into my head in that, so I feel like kind of guilty doing that.
It's okay. We can fix that. We'll fix it.
We will fix that for sure.
Cause I need to save and I need to get Dead Island 2.
Yes.
Okay. To be fair, you need Do I have Dead Island 2? I have to look if I have Dead Island 2. I can't remember if I bought it or not. But you need to get that. And you know what? This weekend is a perfect weekend. We should try playing the fucking Left 4 Dead. Back 4 Blood. Because I got her that for her birthday. And she has my PSN and all that stuff. So she should be able to play on that while we play with her.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know if I remember. That sounds
so dirty. She can play with that while we play with her. Well, that escalated quickly. Yes. I agree with you, Peanut. You do have to get Dead Island too. Anne and I again. When they announced that one was coming out, I'm like, pre-order. You know, and I always pre-order the whole shit and shebang. So when they do updates, I don't have to pay for the updates.
Yep.
I didn't do that with Tiny Tina's because I'm not, I mean, Tiny Tina's was fun, but it's not a game that you can play over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Basically, once you've beat Tiny Tina's, all you can do is go back into the boards, collect weapons and that, and just upgrade your weapons. So Tiny Tina's kind of disappointed me. But Dying Light 2, I swear to God, I was dreaming about this game. It was so good. And like playing with Anne, and we have our headsets on, and it's just like the two of us in our own little world. And I think that's what I like about it. I'm able, like when I'm gaming, I just shut off everything around me, and it's just me and my friends in my headset in my little bubble. And it's just, I don't know. It helps me, like, depression-wise, I feel very lifted after I've had a good quality gaming session with my friends. Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah. Definitely, Peanut, we need to get you on a gaming session.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think I have to get that game too, Taylor.
I enjoy
you need to get Back for Blood. Or not, yes, Back for Blood.
Yeah.
Getting the fucking names all mixed
Back
up.
Back for Blood 4.
No, there's just four of them?
No, it's just Back for Blood.
Sorry, yes.
Excuse me, I would have went searching for four games.
I know, that's why I'm like, no. It's technically, I mean, it's like it's a spin-off from the original Left 4 Dead games, but now there's actually sort of a story arc to it. And you can upgrade weapons, and you have special attacks that you can do. If I remember, like, there's attack cards and stuff.
Right. So my son's a gamer, and he uses, him and IT built his system. He started off with Alienware
that we had bought him
for Christmas 1 year. And he's just, like, built it from there. And, like, he's got the dual monitor, the whole nine yards. So he's a gamer too, and you know, when he was younger and his friends would come over, or he'd be talking to his friends, and like at the time we all shared an Xbox. I don't know why, but we did. And Brendan and I would be playing side by side, like split screen, and his friends would jump into the conversation, or like would join our chat. And they're like, who are you playing with, Brendan? And he'd be like, my mom. So I like literally have half of my son's friends on my friends list on Xbox. I'm like, Zach, you up for a game?
But you're like, yeah, if my son's not playing, I'll play. It's okay. I'll carry you, team.
But yeah, he's a gamer too. And whereas he plays on PC, I play on Xbox. Console. What I'm really starting to love is these newer systems and these newer games are coming out as cross-platform.
Yes.
And to me, that is like the biggest gift the video gaming industry has ever given us gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Is cross-platform gaming. Because if you have a friend that has just an Xbox One and you have the Xbox XS, y'all can play together because it's cross-platform gaming.
Well, I mean, nice. And to expand on that, it's not just cross-platform as in different generations. It's cross-platform as in, so systems. Peanut has a PS4,
yeah.
And I grabbed her Back for Blood. The only game, just one. and she will be able to use that to play with myself and Dana because we both have Xboxes. But we'll all be able to play together because they were nice enough to make that one cross-platform. Same thing with Dying Light 2. They made that one cross-platform. Yes. They did not, however, which makes me mad, make Dead Island 2 cross-platform.
No, they did not.
But I'm glad to see, like, more and more games are now doing cross-platform. And they're also doing that new thing, too. what the hell is it? Cross.
How do you know if it's cross platform?
It'll say.
I just Google it.
Google is our friend.
It really is. But they have the other thing where it's now, I think they call it like cross play or cross progression. And it's not that you can play the game cross platform. So you can't play it with anyone on anything. But say I have like, they're using it for The Witcher and they're using it for games like Diablo 4 or any of the Diablo games now, where if you have a copy of the game on all of your different consoles or whatever you're playing it on, your game will be playable on any one of them. So say I was playing it earlier on my Xbox, but I wanted to continue it on my Nintendo Switch. My game will literally pick up on my Nintendo Switch right where I left off on my Xbox.
Shut your mouth.
Right?
You guys are so much more knowledgeable on this than me. I just, like buy it, put it in my PlayStation and play.
She's like, I just want the easy things. Turn
I
on,
just kill things. Yep. I know nothing about like the online play. I know nothing about cross platform, nothing. So, I have a PlayStation 4, so I buy games that say they're for PlayStation 4.
Tell me about this Back for Blood game.
So
how did I not hear about this game?
I want to say that it came out around the same time as one of the other games that we were talking about.
One game girl.
I know. I was saying, I think that was it. Like, I think it was around the same time as Dying Light 2. Like, not exactly the same time, but close. So it's made by the same people who made the Left 4 Dead games. So it's a zombie apocalypse game. You have more than four survivors to pick from this time. But you have however many survivors to pick from. You actually have a camp that you go to.
I think it says 1 to 8.
I thought it was 8. So it has.
So
about,
does that mean you can play with 7 people, or are you limited?
It says
to 4?
It says 1 to 8 network players.
Awesome.
Oh okay, yeah, you must be able to play with. I was gonna say I haven't played with that many yet, so I don't know.
I have the game in front of me. Sorry.
I can get Anne and Manwich involved in this.
Hell yeah, we can go and kill things.
Who's Manwich? I just want to, like, his name. I want to eat him.
Manwich?
How you doing, Manwich?
I don't even know who he is or what he looks like. I just, like want to eat a Manwich.
She's flirting on our podcast.
With Manwich.
So it's like I said, so same thing, you have all the specialty zombies that you got to kill. You have to try and do like objectives as you're going along and trying to get from one safe point to another. You have crows that give you away, which are really easy to set off, Dana.
I don't know what you're talking about.
yeah. You wait till we're playing and we're like, oh, Dana, right over there. Yeah, could you just grab that file? Oh, no, you set off the horde. Runs away.
Nice.
So it's freaking awesome. And they have such better weapons in this. It's so much better. It's everything. It's literally everything from the Left 4 Dead games, but amped up, made even better.
Oh, that excites me.
Yeah, it does. She's like, I need a minute.
Excuse me.
Runs out to the living room, makes a purchase.
And for me, it's getting into gaming season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still game in the summer, but in the winter, I kick it up like 500 notches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start Friday night and Sunday morning. I'll stop for breakfast.
You got to make sure that you have the power energy there to be able to make it through the gaming sessions. You can't just be doing this all willy-nilly. Jeez.
So when I was... You know, you guys chuckled, and Peanut made the comment about IT wiping my brow. I'm not kidding when I tell you he takes care of me when I'm gaming. Like, he'll be like, do you need another coffee? Do you want a Gatorade? Need a power bar? Like, you haven't eaten in 12 hours.
He's like, you might need to eat, honey. You might need to... Please eat something. You're scaring the children.
And he likes playing games, too, but he's more of a Nintendo Mario kind of guy. He doesn't go for the Left 4 Dead zombie. Yeah. Like, even the Call of Duty games. Like, when we were playing Xbox 360, the Call of Duty games, the zombie games on Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, what Call of Duty was it that had the George A. Romero zombies?
I want to say Modern Warfare 3?
Possibly.
I think so.
But, again... It's George A. Romero. I'm a horror movie addict. I can admit that. Like, literally, I was, like, crying when I saw that. Because I didn't know anything about what the zombies was going to be like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we all met up online and we started this round of zombies. We also met a guy from England who helped us do a lot of it, and his name is Paul Henderson, and I can say his name because I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Or does he?
Old Hendy, are you out there?
If you're
he's
in,
still
come
on
join
my
us.
Friends list on Xbox. But, like, for a gamer and a horror movie addict,
mm-hmm.
when they brought in that George A. Romero element, I was like, oh, my God, I love you people. Like, kudos to the people that make these games.
Mm-hmm.
Games that can scare the fuck out of you when you're playing them.
See, that's the perfect point to make, because I was just going to bring up. So I don't know if you girls have ever played them, because obviously, like, you two are huge into horror.
Yes.
And I think, you know what, I think I have the digital copy, and Peanut, you should be able to download it to your PlayStation and give it a try. There's a game on my PlayStation called Until Dawn.
Oh, yeah, I think I've played that.
So... That was the first game made by a company called Supermassive. Their games are all choice-driven. Like, they're not action-packed, as in, like, you're not... So, it gets better. So, you're not going around shooting up a bunch of things, like in Back 4 Blood or Left 4 Dead, any of those. Like, those are straight-up shooter zombie games.
I think I own it, truthfully.
Well, then you should be playing it, Peanut. This is the perfect time of year to play it.
What was it called again?
Until Dawn.
That's pretty bad. I think I own it, but I can't remember the name.
I don't think you've played it. That would be why. So
yes,
that...
I do own it.
Okay. You need
Go
to play
Peanut.
It.
It's your birthday.
We're going to party like it's your birthday. So in that one, it is maybe... I think it's between... 8 and 9 hours of gameplay at most. And it is 100% choice driven. You could have, I think there's, I want to say like 6 or 7 different endings for it.
Oh, all, nice.
All because you could royally fuck up your choices and kill everyone. Or you could do everything right and everyone could live. Or anywhere in the middle.
That sounds fun.
Oh my God, it is so good.
It's a little bit like the Evil Dead game.
Is that how that one's played? Like, it's choice driven?
Yeah, you play as Ash.
Mhm.
And it's not so much that it's 100% choice driven, but you have to make choices like, do you want to do this or do you want to do that?
Yes. And that's exactly it, like. So these games, so they started with that one. That one was massively successful. So then what they did after that is they've actually made they did the anthology stories. So it's the Dark Anthology, I think is what it's called. And each game, it's a shorter playtime, but each one is a different horror story. So the first one was, I'm trying to remember, The Man of Medan, if I remember right. And it's about the warship that went missing during World War II or something like that. And then, weirdly enough, reappeared back in like the 90s.
The Mary Celeste?
I can't remember if that's the actual name of what it was. It could be. It was off of Japan, if I remember right. Somewhere over there. So there's this whole horror story built around that. And you play as, like, there's four or five different characters that you take turns playing as. And they have different impacts on the stories. And if you fuck up your choices along the way, you can fuck up your ending.
Now that sounds fun.
Oh my god, it is so much fun. So they have, there's four or five of those part of the first season of the anthology. There's four or five different games. I have all of them because I fucking love them. And I can't remember.
It wasn't the Mary Celeste. Sorry, go ahead. I'm listening still.
I was just trying to think. I'm trying to remember if they started right off the bat with those where you can do couch co-op, where you can play with someone there in the room, or you can actually play, they called it something different, like movie co-op, where you can play with friends online. And what happens is you all take turns. So one person will say, we're going to say that we're each a character. So one person would play as me. And then when the story switches from my point of view, it goes over to Joyelle's point of view. So then Joyelle plays as herself and we just watch as she plays. And then when her story comes to a sudden halt, then it goes over to Dana. Dana plays her section of the story and we get to watch that. And then it reverts back to whoever else is next. So you get to literally both watch and participate in the game, because it's like, the best way to describe it is that you're getting to play a horror movie.
Oh,
that is exactly what they were going for, is you get to be part of the horror movie. So you get to make the choices, because they also put out a brand new game, like a full length one called The Quarry, that I think I'm still at the beginning of it because I got distracted. But it's, again, I think it has the same kind of thing where it's like got like the couch co-op or the quote unquote movie co-op, where you get to go through and it's this fucked up shit. Where the one that I have not finished playing yet because it scared the shit out of me and it drives my anxiety through the roof, but I still love it, is the one called The Devil in Me. And what I love about these games, and I'm also horrified about, is that they're not just picking things and making up their own stories. They're picking actual stories that already exist. So The Devil in Me is actually about the first serial killer in U.S. history, Henry H.H. Holmes, I think was his name.
Oh, yeah, H.H. Holmes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all about him and his fucked up hotel that he had, where the walls would move and he would capture people, kill them, send them down into the acid vat that he had in his basement through tunnel systems. Would clean off their bones and resell their full skeletons to the learning hospital up the street from them.
That was a whole season of American Horror Story.
Was that one? Did they do that one?
The one with Lady Gaga in the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
It was based on his hotel.
No, that one's based off a different hotel.
No.
No, if you look it up, it's based off of a different one, if I remember right, because it's actually based off of one in Hollywood that they have there. It's not called the, like,
the Cecil? I know my haunted hotel, sorry.
I'm trying to remember, it's called the Cortez in the show, right? The show, they called it the Cortez?
Yes. Yes, it was, okay, so... Go ahead with game.
So that's what it's based off of, is showing, it shows his history and explains some of the stuff, and it's just, it's creepy. And then for me, one of my big phobia fear things is dolls, and mannequins are just oversized dolls. And they have a lot of those in this particular game. So therefore, there was a lot of sudden screaming and jumping from me, and Mama getting mad at me because it would be dead silent in the room, and all of a sudden I would jump or scream, and she would want to hit me because I would startle her.
Okay, just to interrupt. So the hotel that they used in American Horror Story was called the fictional Hotel Cortez. Supposedly located in downtown Los Angeles in a similar Skid Row location as the real-life Cecile Hotel. So, yeah.
That's the hotel. Is that the hotel in real life that the that serial killer lived in?
Ramirez?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he lived there for a little bit.
I forgot about that part, too.
The Night Stalker.
Yes, yes. Yes,
the Night Stalker.
Sorry, I called him by his real name.
I knew you were talking about because I watched the true crime thing about it. That's why, but I couldn't remember the name, if that was the hotel that...
So it's reportedly one of the most haunted locations in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest stories to come out of there, besides the Night Stalker living there, was in, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, the Asian girl went missing. Like, she just disappeared out of the elevator. They couldn't figure out where she went. And they found her body in the water tower on the roof.
Yes. Yes, I watched a documentary on this, yes.
Oh, they have a documentary on it?
yes, I wish. I cannot remember if it was on the ID station that I had watched it or if it was on Netflix.
Okay, I'll look.
But yes, now that you said yes, I remember, totally remember watching this.
About so that sorry hotel. For interrupting you, Taylor.
Oh, no, it's okay. This is fully on point for what we're talking about, and it's also given me time to look up the name of his hotel.
Well, while you're doing, did you find it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, go ahead.
So I knew it wasn't in Hollywood for him, so... He was from, based in, Chicago, Illinois, and it was called the Murder Castle, the three-story building commissioned in Chicago. So for him, they have his body count as anywhere from 133 to upwards of 200 people.
Oh my God, who is that?
That is the...
H.H. Holmes.
Yep, Dr. Henry Holmes. And there's actually some people who believe that he's actually Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm. I think I watched a documentary on that, too.
Yes.
He sounds like, so demented. I can hear the people listening. Oh, my God. Who are
what
these
is women? Wrong with these people?
I have the ID station.
Yeah, they're just like, what is happening with them? Why are they talking about this? Hide the children.
I find it fascinating.
You and me both, Peanut. You and me both.
I find it fascinating. But yes, I have the ID station, people. And that is my true crime. And
hey, I cross-stitch to serial killer documentaries. I get it.
That is, it sounds so wholesome, right? Until you're like, I cross-stitch. To murderers. That is what I crossed it to. Murderers, murderers, murderers.
Okay, Taylor, I want to pick your brain for a minute.
Okay.
Do you remember when the Xbox 360 first came out?
Oh, yeah, that's going back away, but yeah.
With the Kinect.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so My son wanted an Xbox 360 for Christmas. Well, he didn't ask for it. A friend of mine, a very good friend of mine at the time, had come to visit us and was spending Christmas with us. And he asked what he could buy little dude for Christmas. I'm like, I don't know, let's get him a game for the Nintendo. Because we were totally Nintendo people up to this day.
Mm.
We go to EB Games, when EB Games still existed. We go to EB Games.
Doesn't exist anymore?
No, it's GameStop called, now.
Yeah, I see. It went with its... It was, to be fair, it was always weird that it was called EB Games up here because it was owned by GameStop, but we changed the name of it in Canada. It was weird.
So now it's called GameStop, or it's just gone?
No, GameStop. It's called GameStop.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No problem. So we went into EB Games, and we were looking for, like, Nintendo games. And my friend's like, what about that system? And of course, there's like 100 people in line with Xbox 360s, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's the hottest system, like, out there right now. He goes, yeah. He goes, I'll buy it for him for Christmas. Mm. So he gets him the Xbox 360 with the Kinect, a Turtle Beach headset, like top of the line Turtle Beach headset. Like the headset costs like $150.
Damn.
And then he says, let's buy some games. And one was like Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto. My little, yes, my little, I'm the parent that let their 10-year-old play Grand Theft Auto. The Call of Duties, a Splinter Cell, which was our favorite.
Oh my god, yes.
Him and I used to, because he lives in Europe, so we used to plan Splinter Cell nights. But one of the games he bought was for the Kinect, and it was a horror-based game. Now, if you can imagine, the Kinect is used based on body movement.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, we moved the furniture out of the living room. We've eaten Christmas dinner at this point. We set up the Xbox. Let's play this game. So we moved the furniture out of the living room and we set up the Kinect. And the start of this game, it's a zombie apocalypse game. But you start the game and you're on a train and you got to get off the train to complete the game. But you got to fight off the zombies to get off the train. So if you could picture it, a couple fat people playing this game, full body Kinect game. You try to run you're running on the spot to try to run through the train.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could remember the name of this game. It was so much fun. But I mean, as we upgraded our systems, we got rid of games because at the time, one game couldn't be transferred over to another.
Yep.
So as we upgraded our systems, we'd sell the old system with the games. And I wish I knew the name of that game. Anybody out there knows what I'm talking about? Please hit us up. Because I would love to play that game again. I mean, talk about a game that's going to cause you to shit your drawers.
I was going to say, that's the thing that I like. I know, again, it's going to sound weird when people are like, don't you play video games to relax? Yes, we do. This is how we relax. That is relaxing. I love playing those games. And I mean, my one friend has spent, I want to say that he spent like 10 grand or something like that on one of those freaking VR setups, and it's the entire room is VR. So he's got all the wall mounts and all that stuff, and it uses the entire room. So he's got the treadmill and all of it. He runs around on it, puts you fully in the game. And I can remember laughing, thinking, you know what? Back in the day, yes, when we were young, it was, oh, you're going to play video games, you're going to be a fat slob. Then I look at this stuff, I'm like, oh no, we're training the nerds so that we will be smart and brawny.
The nerds are going to be the one that are going to win the apocalypse.
Yes.
Them buff people, they don't stand a chance. Because we're already going to know what the fuck to do, and they're going to be standing there with their power bars going, what the fuck? Brendan has the Oculus.
Oh, yes.
So some of my, one of my all-time favorite games, which actually, truthfully, growing up, I didn't play video games. Like, my cousin had Atari, obviously, because that was, and we I would go and play, we would play over at his place now, basically when it was raining out. Otherwise, we were always outside. And I think the only video game we actually got was Sega when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And we only had a couple games. And again, we didn't really play it. We were outside. So my ex-husband kind of got me into playing video games. And what started it was Resident Evil. Yeah, so those are Resident Evil. Although I have to say, I find that the older ones are far better than the newer ones. Yes. Not as far as graphics and stuff, obviously, but as far as storyline and gameplay and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do, Resident Evil is one of my all-time favorite video games.
Obviously, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you don't know, Peanut. I could be wrong. You can correct me if I am. But they actually have re-released, completely revamped graphics of the original games. So
yeah, I have seen. Have seen that. I have not. I haven't played them. For me, though, I don't know why. There's two that I could just play over and over again that I find, for me, are my favorite, and that is the Resident Evil Code Veronica Codex.
Yes.
And Resident Evil Chapter 4.
I was going to say Leon's story is by far the best out of all of them. Like, I mean, I love the Agreed. Resident Evil games. Don't get me wrong. But his was the perfect balance of everything. It was scary, and to me, it's one of those things of, don't get me wrong, I love the new graphics and that they're all updated, so they look freaking amazing. But at the same time, I always find it scarier with the old graphics, probably just because you had to use, the theater of the mind. You had to imagine some of it, and not being able to see details of everything made stuff scarier than the updated graphics for me.
I really like in the older ones where my thing is because I like the killing of things and that, but I also like hunting for things and that, and so they had where you would in the older ones where you found notes and objects, hidden objects. I think in chapter 4, there's those statues that
or
something that are in the trees and everything else. So I like that part of certain of games too. I like the hunting and the finding thing part, but I mixed in with also the killing.
I like that is honestly, like I said, number 4 is the perfect balance of that.
Yeah.
Because you have the horror aspect, you have the hide and seek hunting aspect of it, you get the killing of it, you get the thrill, the adrenaline. I kind of wish that I could play Resident Evil Village, which is Resident Evil number 8.
Ah.
It is there. I've watched the entire gameplay of it when it first came out. And I loved it. However, my scared ass would never be able to do the dollhouse part. Like all the other parts, the part with Lady Demescu, like hell yeah, and a heartbeat could easily take care of that. I just wouldn't want to leave.
I didn't know there was a Resident Evil 8.
Oh yeah.
I think I have up to 7.
I'm pretty sure it's Resident Evil 8. Let me double check just to make sure that I'm saying the right number, because I'm pretty positive that yeah, it's gotta be Resident Evil 8. Resident Evil 8.
So either of you ladies ever play Red Dead Redemption?
Yeah.
I haven't, but my ex-husband did. And there was a lot of times that I would, like, while he was playing video games, I would just kind of lay and watch because I had nothing better to do.
Yeah, Brendan played that one a lot, and I used to watch him play that.
Did you play the zombie version of it?
Yes.
Me too.
Hello. Yeah, that was one of his favorites. Right now, though, he plays on Steam. He doesn't play on a console. He plays on Steam. And he's been playing Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, God.
So, the one day I'm watching TV, and I see a commercial for this new horror movie, Five Nights at Freddy's. I'm like, fuck, that looks amazing. Brendan's like, yeah, it's a video game. I'm like, shut your mouth.
You didn't know?
I didn't know. One got past me.
Oh my God. Like, that's an old one.
And that's probably why it got past me. Because it's an older game. And I never really got into heavy gaming until about 15 years ago. And I was stuck on Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 and Splinter Cell and
Call of Duty. This one must have snuck by you, because this one, the original Five Nights at Freddy's, came out August 8th, 2014.
I've never heard of it either.
It was one of those ones that it wasn't what I would consider a huge launch, like really well known. But it became like a cult following almost immediately.
Yeah.
I absolutely want this Resident Evil 8 now.
It is. I'm not going to lie to you.
Christmas is coming, peanut ass Santa.
I was like.
That other guy in the red suit.
And now I'm like, oh my God. That looks good.
It's really good. The only reason I did not get it and will not get it and play it is because of the doll that's in it. That is 100% it. I was like, nope, I'm out at the doll, so I wouldn't be able to get past the game.
So what you're saying, Taylor, is you don't want to go to Vegas with Peanut and me and stay at the Clown Motel?
Oh my God, no. I would set that thing on fire so fast.
Oh, I gotta go there someday.
Yeah, so I have a PlayStation 4, but I also have a PlayStation 3.
Mhm.
But I don't have it hooked up. I just have the 4 hooked up.
And yeah, but you can play your 3 games on 4.
You cannot.
Yes, you can.
No, you cannot.
I could.
Really? Because it won't let me. It says they're not compatible.
Oh, it might be dependent on the games, too.
But are yours on disc? Or because mine are on disc.
Yep.
Really? Because it doesn't let me. Because I've always had PlayStation. So, like, I had a PlayStation 1, a PlayStation 2, 3. I need to get a PlayStation 5, but that's a wish, not a need. So I have a lot of games that are for like PlayStation 4. I still have games for PlayStation 2 and that.
We were always a Nintendo family. I'm going to go back a few years here, folks. My parents bought my two brothers and I an Atari 2600. And we played Pitfall, Mega Mania. But when Nintendo came out, we bought Nintendo. We started with Nintendo systems because Atari just wasn't producing anymore. And I just sold my Atari 2600 recently, too. I still had it with all the games, and it still worked. But we were always a Nintendo family until my friend bought Brendan that Xbox 360. And then, I mean, we're still a Nintendo family, don't get me wrong. I still have my Nintendos, and I have my Nintendo Switch, which I play, and it's not always about the zombies, people, but I play games like Animal Crossing. I love them little fuckers. We became an Xbox family, and so now we're at the Xbox S series, and we love that one. It's mm-hmm. great.
So when I was married, we, cause like I said, I started playing and when I married or started dating my husband, ex-husband, that he had PlayStation, but over the years we did try, Xbox and that we had bought an Xbox and, honestly, I just preferred the PlayStation.
And that's fair. There's a lot of people out there that. It's kind of like photographers. Oh my God, you have a Nikon, you know? snobs, right? So yeah, mm-hmm. you have those people that are gonna. I would never play an Xbox. Oh, and then yeah. you have those people that I would never own a PlayStation. It's just, you know. But yeah,
I mean, I'm not a snob about it. I prefer
it's a preference.
Yeah, I felt more comfortable with the controller, the way the controllers are set up on the PlayStation compared to what they were in that on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying that's been like, for me, I've run into that issue my entire life where people constantly are like, oh, you have an Xbox? I'm like, no, what you're missing out in that story is, I not only have an Xbox, like I have my Xbox One, my Xbox Series X, a PlayStation 4, my Nintendo Switch, and then I have a collection of those, the miniatures that started coming out where I have a Sega, I have a PlayStation 1, and Nintendo, the original Nintendo Entertainment System, the miniature of it. It's like, I like to have all of them. So that I can play any fucking game I want.
Well, yeah, because there's some games that, like, when I'm just, like, you know, looking to see what games are new out
mm-hmm.
and stuff. There and that, or even when you go to a store and you see the, like, there's some, like, cool-looking games I've seen that are for Xbox that are mm-hmm. not made for PlayStation.
Yeah. Yep. I gotta tell you, ladies, my phone is listening to our podcast. I'm scrolling through Facebook while you guys are talking, and what do I have an ad for? Diablo.
It heard me. I talked about it for, like, 0.5 seconds, and your phone's like, say no more, I've got it here.
So now let's talk about bags of money.
Would yeah. bags of money please be delivered to my house, Siri? Thank you.
Winning lottery numbers. But I'm with you too. I don't just play the scary ones. One of my favorite games is
one of my favorite games. I love it so much. Oh my God, what's the name of it?
Oh my God. Uncharted.
Oh, Uncharted, yes. Yes. The Drake collection.
Yes. I could think of his name, but I couldn't think of the name of the video game.
Uncharted.
Yeah, I really like those two. Again, because it's the You're hunting for stuff aspect of it. And there's killing in it.
Yes, one yes,
of
there
my,
is.
One of my favorite games, Harvest Moon.
I've never played that.
Oh my god, you know, okay, so I have, as I just mentioned, I have a Nintendo Switch. I don't play it as often just because I purposely got it to be more like family games specifically on it. Just because it's Nintendo is the only one that has Mario Kart, Donkey Kong, all that kind of stuff.
I suck right. at those games.
Luigi's Mansion.
I suck at them too, but I still enjoy playing them. So the past few nights, I don't know why, I've been on a retro game kick. And the nice thing with Nintendo Switch is that you can actually get, they have Nintendo Entertainment System and Super Nintendo and a few others on there that you can get, like they're the actual built-in game emulators.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go in and it has a, it doesn't have every single game they ever had, but it has like their top one. So it has Zelda, which I have never played.
Sorry.
I've never played that. I've never played that either.
Woohoo!
I've never played that. I've never played Final Fantasy.
What?
They so don't interest me.
You ever play Castlevania?
Ooh.
I didn't. No, no, I don't.
Oh.
Wait a second. It sounds.
We've learned so much about each other this session.
How did we ever become friends? I don't understand. There's just. There's so much missing from our lives.
I don't think I have.
They're good ones too. Again, old, like literally Castlevania started as an arcade game.
Mm-hmm. Like I, because I guess it goes back to like anything, like with movies, books, whatever. I'm so not really a big fantasy fan.
Yeah, but it's horror.
It's horror fantasy.
Yeah, but it's the fantasy part that just turns me off.
She says as we talk about zombie apocalypse.
Resident Evil. Killing people. And
the wow. fantasy is just where that stops for me.
No, I don't.
My fantasies revolve around killing people and getting away with it. With Pedro Pascal.
Like, I'm not, like, I'm totally not into, like, Harry Potter.
Oh, my God!
Like, things with, like, wizards and magic and, like, dragons.
And just like that, our friendship with Peanut has come to a close. This will now be a two-person podcast.
I love the new Harry Potter game on the Xbox. It's a one player game. You can't play with friends, but I mean it's nice because sometimes you don't always want to play with your friends. You just want to put your music on your headphones and get lost in the wizarding world of Harry Potter with the dragons.
That's legitimately for me. That is what I love about video games because. It kind of goes, it calls back to, I know we talked about it many, many moons ago, but Dana and I both have played and play Dungeons & Dragons, and that is honestly, any video game that you have out there that's an RPG or role-playing game is based off of the original Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Even the fighting system, like the calculations and all that happen behind the screen now where we can't actually see it happening. But that is what they're all based off of. And for me, I think that's why I've always loved Dungeons and Dragons and why I love video games is because it's the only way for you to like escape the mundane reality that we have. Not that I don't enjoy games that are based in this reality. But my preference are things that are set in completely different kind of realms, like anything that's Baldur's Gate, which is directly based off of D&D, any Mass Effect games, any Harry Potter games. Like you literally, that is your chance to go and live in those other worlds where you don't have to be, like if you're having a shitty day and you're feeling depressed, you can play a video game and you aren't you. You get to play a different version of yourself where you get to make choices that affect the wizarding world or affect future Earth or kill off the zombies. Like, you get to be that other person. You get to pretend to be someone else for a while who's just, let's be honest, 9 times out of 10, when you're playing a different video game character, you're a fucking badass. Like, you go around, and you're like, yeah, I can headshot from 52 miles away.
Did I ever tell you guys, Taylor, did I ever tell you my D&D story? From when my mother-in-law passed away?
I don't think so.
Oh my god. Okay, so my husband's a huge nerd. That's why he's IT. I love him for it, though. Because anything I need fixed, honey! We went up to Sault Ste. Marie when she passed away, and we got together with his friends. Like, a lot of his friends still live in the Sioux area. One lives in Ottawa. So we got together with Chuck, Bill, and Gary, and their significant others down at Gary's house on St. Joe's Island. And they get together and they like to reminisce. These are guys that are all in their like late 50s. And they're talking about, you remember when we used to get together and play D&D? And they're laughing, right? And IT looks at me. He goes, you never would have guessed. I'm like, I played D&D. I go, in fact, I'm playing it now with Taylor. We started. And like, literally, their foreheads collectively, jaws dropped, and they all turned my way. What do you mean you play D&D? You don't look like you play Dungeons and Dragons. But I do. It was just so funny. The surprise, right? Like, if you looked at me, you wouldn't think I was like a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody that like played like Dungeons and Dragons. And at the time when I first started playing it, I was in college, and we'd get together in they called it a cafeteria, we called it a bar, they served alcohol.
Yeah, definitely a bar.
That's where I learned to play euchre.
Yes.
And I started playing Dungeons and Dragons there with a group of people. And yeah, it's you never know what somebody's into until they tell you.
It's honestly
truffles.
Okay, that was fucking good. That was so good. Oh, that reminds me, I have something to tell you girls afterwards.
Oh, goody. Sorry, folks, you're not in on that conversation.
Did you know there's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Peanut's sorry, looking now. Peanut. She's like,
you hear the exact moment Peanut's heart broke.
She's like, what the fuck? No one tells me nothing. Just bullshit, guys. You're bullshit.
I'm like Charlie Brown, and you just pulled the football.
God damn it, Lucy. But I was going to say, I run into that same thing where it always makes me laugh because... So one of my favorite pastimes, just as a human being, because I find it highly entertaining, no matter what it is.
Let's keep it PG.
Oh. She says after the thruples comment. So it's actually not sex related because, I mean, like, yeah, that always highly entertains me. But in, I'd say, like, 3 different situations for 3 different aspects of my life, I love listening to people like basically bash on something like playing D&D or video games or on paganism or talk about gay people. And I just love sitting there listening to them and them having no idea as they're like, oh my God, yeah, I can never tell. And like, I don't understand, like, how could you tell by this? Like, some people say that they can tell from a mile away. And I have no gaydar whatsoever. And I love listening to it. And then waiting for them to kind of turn, and they're just like, and they all say the same thing, no matter what the situation is. You've been quiet for a while. Have I?
Huh.
I didn't notice. What? Are you done talking now?
You know what my favorite part of those conversations is?
Their faces?
When they turn to you and say, don't you agree? No, I don't.
Oh my God. There's a Grinch.
She's looking at all of the video games right now.
There's a Grinch video game.
Okay, that I didn't know.
The Grinch Christmas Adventures.
Listen, if that Grinch isn't voiced by Boris Karloff, I do not want to hear it.
You're like, well, I'm out.
Fuck you, Jim Carrey.
I'm thinking he's probably not voiced by Boris Karloff.
He might not be. The chances are maybe not high.
But I literally just had the conversation this week, like on, it must have been Thursday before work, with the group that I sit with before work. And I was talking about some video game stuff, and then they're all like, oh yeah, I never got into video games. I was never a nerd in that. I was never a nerd in D&D. And I burst out laughing. I'm like, I do all of those things. And they all just kind of had that same look where they're like, really? You? I'm like, yes, yeah. I know. I look, it's surprising, but I play D&D. I play video games, have for years, like my entire life, literally. And then for the gay aspect, because that also happened this week, one of the girls at work was talking about, I think she was saying it was her daughters were trying to dance with this little gay boy on this cruise that they went on. And she was like, he was very clearly gay. I'm like, oh, I can already picture it just from what you told me he wore for his costume and how he was dancing with the other boys. He was like, yep, that is definitely a gay guy. And she's like, my daughters had no idea. They're like, oh my God, you're so cute. Yeah, let's dance. So I'm like, oh my God. I was like, that's hilarious. She's like, yep, they have absolutely no gaydar. I'm like, no. But then I said, but I've also learned recently that apparently people can't tell I'm gay. And I thought that I radiated it. It's like, I'm wearing plaid and I wear, like, I will wear my freaking rainbow earrings. I was like, I thought those were pretty clear signs. And the fact that I've never talked about having a boyfriend. I figured that.
Listen, stop stereotyping lesbians in their clothing.
Well, not only that.
It's because you're trying to take our wearer.
But let's, like I said before, to be fair, Taylor, I think that you've seen more penis than me.
She may have seen more, but I doubt she's touched it.
I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder.
Okay. Let's just clear this up because it's for everyone listening. Like, I have seen and played with one in person two times.
One in person. What made you go back the second time?
Well, the first time was just kind of like exploring it. The second time, it was just like, okay, let's see what happens. And then we saw what happens. So I was like, oh, that's so sticky.
How old are you?
I mean, I was just chuckling. I'm trying to think, like, this was, how old am I now? I'm 31 now, so it must have been like 6-7 years ago. I feel like, I can't even see Dana's face, but I feel like she's just sitting there going, like, jaw drop going, what?
It's a good thing you can't see my face.
I want to see her face.
Oh my God, you too. Oh my God.
Yeah, and that's why, and this one over here, we're at work. This is why I said we were literally at work, and she's getting up from the table to go back to the floor, and she's like, yeah, you've seen more penises than me. It's like, what
were we even talking about, though? We were talking about something.
I don't even know how we got onto that particular topic, but that is how she like did a mic drop and then walked off, and I was just I'm flabbergasted and then like trying to stutter for words where it's like, what do you mean like in person or online, because those are two very drastically different numbers, because in person, no, I'm clearly going to be less than you. And she's like, yeah.
What do you mean online? What are you watching online?
It's not so much the stuff that I've seen.
I not want to see your history on your computer.
I was going
to
say.
She's going to jail. The FBI is going to have questions.
They're going to be like, what do you mean by this online stuff? It's like, okay, well, listen, like, I have guy friends. They have sent pictures and videos. I have seen quite a few penises.
Do they know you're gay?
Oh, yeah.
And they still send you dick pics?
Oh, yeah.
How come my guy friends never sent me dick pics?
Dana's just like, her mind is blown right now. I'm like, do you know how many, like, I'm trying to think of, like in that case.
I got the wrong group of friends.
If, I guess so, because my guy friends have never sent me dick pics.
How has this never happened? Like, I'm going to now have to ask other women where I'm like, do your guy friends not send you dick pics? Because I have like a collection of them.
I think they're trying to convert you.
Taylor publishes a book next year.
They're trying. They're going to be like my
calendar.
They're going to be like, my dick is what's going to turn her straight.
That I'm not even going to lie. I 100% know. Like, so just to add to this, because we're already on this topic anyways. So I have seen majority of their dicks. And then
how they use them, apparently, in the videos.
Oh, I was going to say, well, yeah, I've seen the happy endings and leading up to it. And I've also seen, like, I've been on video calls with them while they've done it. So there's nothing.
Oh, my God.
my God, friends so have never done this. They've never done that, my guy friends.
I use Skype to do a podcast. That's me. Taylor, I use Skype to see happy endings.
It's not even Skype. It's on Facebook.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think that goes against their standards. And how have you not been in Facebook, Taylor?
Their community
standards. They say it's been on Facebook and it's been on Discord servers.
The 30s at Facebook are like, we're enjoying this.
We are going to end this episode right now. Thank you for sticking with us as we talked about the meaning of Halloween and where it came from. And video and being a gamer and playing the video games and what video games you like. And then the ending, I don't even know where that went. Taylor stops laughing. She can give you our email address and where to
find. Oh my God.
So I've only touched 8 penises in my life.
Oh my God, my back hurts. I'm not the hoe.
Okay. Can you do this, Taylor? Can you do this?
Mama just came into the room and is staring at me.
She's trying to make sure you're okay.
She literally just asked if I'm okay as you said that. I might need oxygen, yes. Oh my God, I'm crying. So our email address would be depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. Yeah, please just leave. So our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We do love to hear from you. Please don't come at us for talking about the sex on an unscheduled program.
And Taylor would like some dick pics.
Don't send dick pics.
We're going to open up the email and it's just going to be like, ah, damn it. You can find our episodes posted on my personal Instagram at GoddessTayTay25. Please don't fill it with dick pics. You can also find it posted on Dana's personal Twitter, now known as X, at Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I. Or you can find it posted on her TikTok at Scooby71, S-K-O-O-B-I-7-1.
And again, jump into my DMs with dick pics.
I think Dana would woman. Like to receive at least one in her life.
Unless it's Pedro Pascal. And then I'll welcome that. Or James Hetfield. Equal opportunity.
In those cases, then you may enter my DMs with your dick pics.
now you're just going to get a bunch that say they're
patrons. I always look for the blue check mark.
Just be warned, we will judge them. They will be shown.
I knew some of the TikTok profiles were fake when Freddie Mercury started following me. I was like, damn, sir.
You're like, how'd you get at from the grave?
You can't tour, but you can follow me on TikTok.
They might have Wi-Fi in heaven.
I have the best receiving signal ever up here.
Right?
My upload speeds are amazing. Oh, I'm grateful for laughter this week.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, ladies. I'm very grateful to have you two to have these Saturday or Sunday chats. And I hope our listeners enjoy them as much as we enjoy doing them.
Yes.
The podcast, not them, as an artist.
Yes,
oh my God, I gotta stop.
Wow. And you complain about me.
Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye.
Ciao. We're calling it cuts now.
Bye.